Tonight, if you would, Psalm 50. Over a period of time, we've been digging treasures from the Psalms. We're going to look at Psalm 50 tonight for just a short few minutes. I know you're here for preaching rather than pie. I'm sure of that. Psalm 50, and find, if you would, please, verse number 1. Notice the Bible says in Psalm 50 in verse 1, the mighty God. Boy, that's a good way to start off, isn't it? Aren't you glad that your God is mighty tonight? Even the Lord hath spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined. Our God shall come. We've been preaching on that, haven't we? Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth, that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. Selah. Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel. I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or for thy burnt offerings, to have been continually before me. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he-goats out of thy folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls, the birds of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. We don't know the exact story behind the psalm. We know that every psalm has a story. We're not told exactly the occasion. We don't know the why behind this psalm that moved Asaph to write it. We don't know why. We don't know the what. We do know the who. The divinely inspired title tells us a psalm of Asaph. 12 psalms. Most of them are between Psalm 73 and 89, in what we call the third book of the Psalter. This is the only psalm of Asaph in the second book of the Psalter. And we find that usually he's going to spend time talking about the holiness and the greatness of God. Asaph was one of David's three chief musicians or temple choir directors. He was a master musician. He was a writer of sacred songs. 1 Chronicles 15, when you go there, verses 16 and 17, we won't do that. We'll find that he was selected by the Levites to lead the music when King David brought the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. That may have been the occasion. We don't really know. But it may have been that momentous time when the Ark was being brought back and the nation was rejoicing and God was blessing and moving amongst His people. I believe it is a time of real revival in the nation of Israel. It might have moved him to warn them against the dangers of formalism and hypocrisy in this matter of worship. It could have been that when you come to Psalm 50 and he talks about what is true worship, that he's guarding us against having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, of drawing near to God with our lips but our heart far from Him. Friend, listen, can I tell you, it doesn't do us any good to worship with our lips and have no heart. You're going to find that in the opening verses he pictures God as judge. Look, if he says in verse number, look if you would please, in verse number, I'm going to find it here in just a moment, where he said, our God shall come. I lost it. And we'll find it, though. And he says, our God shall come. He's talking about God judging the earth. And then he's dealing with the saints of God that, listen, one day we're going to give an account to God. Look what he says in verse number, I tell you where I'm wrong. I'm in chapter 53, Psalm 53, rather than Psalm 50. Verse 3 says, no wonder I couldn't find it as I'm scanning my Bible. Our God shall come, verse 3, and not keep silence. You look down in verse number 5, gather my saints together unto me. It's a moment of worship, yet it's an appearing before God. One day all of us are going to give an account to God, aren't we? He's going to deal with the righteous in verses 1 through 15 that I read tonight. Beginning in verse 16 all the way to verse 22, He'll deal with the wicked, those that do not know Him. See, the reality is that everybody's going to stand before God, not just those who know Him, but those who don't know Him is going to stand before God. And then you come to verse number 23, the last verse of the psalm, and He begins to give an invitation. Look what He says in verse 23. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. You know what, tonight, church, is we have praised and we've worshipped and we thank God and we've rejoiced together. You know what we're doing? We're giving God the glory that's due His name. Isn't that right? And to him that ordereth his conversation aright, will I show the salvation, the deliverance, the blessing of God. And so God's inviting us. But in the middle of the psalm, this is where I want to spend a short amount of time tonight. In the middle of the psalm, the very heart of it, God talks to us about what true worship looks like. I believe it's here that He tells us what can we give to Him. Look again, if you would please, in verse number 9. He said, I will take no bullock, nor he-goat out of thy folds. Every beast of the forest is mine. Cattle upon a thousand. I know all the fowls, verse 11. Wild beasts of the earth are mine. If I were hungry, God said, if I had a moment of hunger, He said, I wouldn't even tell you, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. And then He asks a question. He's talking about superficial worship. Shall I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? He said, can I tell you, it's not just about an outward sacrifice that you bring, but it's an inward heart. You see, whatever we do for God ought to flow out of a heart of worship and adoration and admiration for the God of heaven. Wouldn't we agree with that? And then He begins to tell us what He desires from us. You see, you think about it, what do you give a God who has everything? Who owns everything and doesn't need anything? What do? He says in three simple statements, I own everything, I have everything, and I don't need anything. And although there is nothing that God needs, there are some things that God desires and deserves and wants from us. What can we give? What can we, who really in all reality have nothing, because all that we have tonight, if we're honest, comes from the good hand of our God. Paul put it this way, I am what I am by the grace of God. How can we as nothing give the God who owns everything? How can we give Him anything? Well, God's going to tell you what He wants from us tonight. Number one, God wants us to be thankful. Look at verse number 14. He said, offer unto God thanksgiving. You see, I believe that true worship flows out of a thankful heart, a heart of gratitude to God. You see, God, as any parent would, desires for His children to have a grateful heart. I believe it's just a right thing. It is a good thing. It is a godly thing for us to give thanks unto God. Ephesians 5 verse 20 says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks. Not some things, not most things, but in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Here's what God's saying. Simply put, God wants me and He wants you to be thankful unto Him. And folks, listen, if we're honest tonight, don't we have so much to thank Him for? The psalmist said, be thankful unto Him and bless His Holy Name. Tonight, listen, we've come together as a church and as God's people and we're giving thanks unto our God, but we can't let it stop there. I believe, no, it ought to be a part of our daily lives, whether I'm in personal worship or whether I'm in public worship. I need to be giving thanks to God. There's always something to thank God for. I thought about Luke 17 where the Lord healed the 10 lepers. And you remember they went away and only one returned to giving thanks. And he asked the question, where are the 9? Only this one came back to give thanks, and he was a Samaritan. It wasn't that the Lord was looking down on him because he was a Samaritan. He was the most unlikeliest of all of them to be thankful unto the Lord. And he said, where's the rest of them? And you know what the reality is? Too often we, in our routine of life, become like the other nine, and we stifle our songs, we withhold our praise, and we fail to give Him thanks. Church, can I tell you, the God who owns everything and has everything says, I want you to just be thankful to Me. Number two, real quickly tonight, not only does God want us to be thankful unto Him, and there's so much to thank Him for, His grace and His goodness in our lives. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Friend, listen, we can make a thankful list tonight and not put one temporal, material thing on it. Did you know that? So often we think about the food and the house and the clothes and the material things, but you think about the spiritual things, the goodness of God and the grace of God and the mercy of God and the long suffering of God, all the things that God does in our lives, friend, that you cannot see, that are eternal in nature. Friend, can I tell you, that is priceless tonight. What about the uniqueness of God? The uniqueness of God. Who is like unto Thee, O Lord? Who is like unto Thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? To whom will You liken Me, God says, or who is My equal? Psalm 148, verse 13, let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and the heaven. I just want to go on record tonight and say there is no one and nothing like our God tonight. He is in a class all by Himself. God's given you 84,600 seconds. Did you know that? It's a gift. Every day. So why not take one of them and say, thank You, Lord. So we find not only does He want me to be thankful, but number two, He wants me to be faithful. Look if you would, verse 14 again. He said, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. You know what God's saying? I keep My promises. I want you to keep yours. Have you ever made a promise to God? You ever said, God, if You'll do this, I'll do this? You ever done that? Or maybe you come and you've told the Lord that you're going to yield yourself to Him, or you're going to give this to Him, or you're going to begin doing that, or you're going to stop doing the other. You know what God's saying? God's saying, I want you to be faithful. I want you to keep Your Word. Oh, listen, all of us may be a lot of things. All of us may not be a lot of things. Listen, I can't play the piano. You definitely don't want me to sing. All right. Nobody here, Brother Delp, has never one time said, Pastor, why don't you sing for us tonight? Never done that. I don't know why. I'm sure it's a spiritual issue with him. I'm sure that's what it is. But the reality of it is nobody asked me to do those things. All right. There's a lot of things I can't do. I can't build a birdhouse and make all four sides fit. I told somebody one time that if God hadn't called me to preach, my wife and family would have starved because I don't do anything else. All right. That's just reality. Let me tell you something to everybody. Because you say, well, I can't do this and I can't do that and I can't get up here and do the other. Let me tell you what everybody in this room can be. You can be faithful to God. Amen. We're living in a day of unfaithfulness. And God said, I have everything. I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. If I were hungry, I wouldn't even tell you. Because the earth is Mine and the fullness thereof. I do not lack anything. But what You can do to honor Me and to give Me the glory and the praise is due My name. You can be thankful unto Me. And then you can be faithful unto Me. Boy, that's something every one of us can be. It's just the right, reasonable thing to do. You're here tonight on a Tuesday night. And you know what? God wants us to be faithful in our life groups on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Just being in our place, serving the Lord with our lives. Just being a faithful Christian. Spending time in our personal walk with God, in our Bible reading and prayer, our faithfulness and our giving and back to God of what He's given us. Sharing Him with others. Listen, folks, can I tell you, it's just not hard to be faithful. Just determine in your life that God is going to have first place, that you're going to give Him the place of preeminence. And listen, God, I can't get... Listen, You own it all, but God, I can give You my thanks, and God, I can be faithful. number three real quickly tonight. Not only does God want me to be thankful, not only does He want me to be faithful, but He wants me to be trustful. Look at verse number 15, would you? And call upon me in the day of trouble. I thought about that. The day of trouble. Everybody has those days, don't they? All of us. Did you know troubles are a fact of life? They just are. Job put it this way. He said, yet man is born into trouble as the sparks fly upward. Troubles come to every one of us in life. Doesn't matter if we're saved. Doesn't matter if a person's unsaved. If you're human, you're going to have a day of trouble. Days of trouble. They're just going to come. There's going to be those extremities of life. Somebody put it this way. Into every life, some rain must fall. It's just going to happen. Christians experience upsets, hardships. We have health issues. Listen, everybody on this platform that had a cardboard testimony, there was a need, there was a day of trouble in their life in some form, some fashion, that God came down in that and broke through in their lives and intervened and did something in their lives. You read the Bible. Listen, not one of God's servants was ever immune to a day of trouble. They're just a fact of life. But you know what? They're also to test our faith, aren't they? I don't understand every trial. I don't understand every trouble. You can't always explain what God's doing in our lives. There are times it seems without rhyme or reason. The Bible calls it the trial of your faith. There's times that God just allows a day of trouble to test us, to teach us, to trust Him, to keep us from being self-sufficient. Because, see, we think that we're enough. And the reality is, we're never enough. He's the one who's enough. Amen. Teaches us to lean on Him. Trouble, someone said, is a tool. It's a tool that Satan can use to drive a wedge between us, to use as a wedge to drive us away from God. Or it's a tool that God can use as a bridge to bring us closer to Himself. Every experience of trial puts us to the test. Am I going to trust God or am I not going to trust God? You see, God said, you can trust me. You see, Christian, there's a whole lot of things that when you think about it, reality, God said, I don't need anything. I have everything, but here's what you can give to me. You can give me your thankfulness. You can give to me your faithfulness. And you can give to me your trustfulness. Notice, I love what the Lord says here in this psalm. He said, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee. Isn't God faithful? I love Isaiah 43. But now saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. You know what God's saying? No matter what comes in my life, God can see me through. I will deliver thee. Let me give you the last thing. Are you ready for it? God wants me to be thoughtful. Thoughtful. Look what he says in the latter part of verse 15. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. You know, trials teach us to glorify the Lord. When God comes down and breaks into our lives, when we see His hand at work, you know what comes out of us is praise and glorifying the Lord. God has shown Himself strong in our lives. To glorify Him, do you know that's the purpose of every man's life? That God created us for Himself to bring Him glory. You're not fulfilling the purpose for which God created you and saved you if your life is not glorifying God. How often we are faultless, though. God breaks through. God blesses us. God does things in our lives. And you know what? He does things in our lives that we don't even take the time to think about. Every day, God's blessings are flowing. Every day, His hand is at work. Every day, He hedges us about. Listen, it would amaze us what He keeps us from. We experience His deliverance. We know His blessing, but yet we forget. We're thoughtless. We don't remember. Let me just say something, that when it comes to this matter of praise and thanksgiving and glorifying God, when you say thank you, when you praise the God of heaven, that is intentional. You do it on purpose because you thought of it. Does that make sense? You thought of it. You won't praise Him if you don't think of it. You won't thank Him if you don't think of it. God says, I want you to be thoughtful. You know, there's a lot of things that God shares with us. His love, His mercy, His grace, His long-suffering, His goodness. But He said, I'm not going to share my glory. That all belongs to Him. The great composer Johann Sebastian Bach, at the end of all of his compositions, whenever he would write a piece, he would put at the end of it S.D.G. Those letters stood for a Latin phrase, Sole Deo Gloria. To God alone be the glory. Can I tell you what we ought to do at the end of every day of our lives? We ought to write S.D.G. To God alone be the glory. At the end of every day, Christian, you ought to ask this question, Lord, have I glorified You today? Today. You see, God said, I have everything. I don't need anything, but here's what You can give to me. You can give me Your thankfulness, and You can give me Your faithfulness, and You can give me Your trustfulness, and You can give me Your thoughtfulness. Let's just stop a moment. What do you need to thank God for tonight? Have you been thoughtful of God? Have you praised Him intentionally? Have you made it your business every day of your life to glorify Him? Friend, God said, I don't need anything. I have everything. But that's what You can give to me. Let's bow our heads in prayer.